today.
3 minutes past the hour, 3 o'clock. It is a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class coming your way here on KGYM. Coming up, KJ Pilcher will join us here in studio. We'll wrap up the high school wrestling season. We'll talk a little bit of college wrestling as well. Louisville has to vacate its 2013 Men's National Basketball Championship. That edict coming down today and a whole lot more. It is a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class right here on KGYM. And from the studios of KGYM here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, we welcome you in Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, our producer. Thank you very much for joining us as we kick off our local programming block here on our three frequencies, 1600 AM, 107.5, and 106.3 FM. We'll be followed by the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way from 4 o'clock until just shortly ahead of 7 o'clock tonight, as we will have more high school basketball tournament action coming your way tonight right here on KGYM. Marion hosting Dubuque Wallert coming up tonight. We'll have it on 1600 and 107.5 FM at 6:45. And 5A. Regional final action coming your way on 106.3 FM, the South Gym tonight, as it'll be number one in 5A, Iowa City City High, taking on the Bettendorf Bulldogs. Happy National Pet Day to you, Mark.
Is it? I didn't realize that.
Yes, it is. Not inferring that you are a pet of any type or magnitude today. It is just National Pet Day today. So I will go home, and when I get done with the basketball game tonight, and we'll go see, and maybe I'll get a new fresh bone for.
I'll get our pet an extra treat tonight. How about
there
that?
There you go.
Spoiled as hell anyway, so.
That's what they're there for, though.
I suppose.
That's what they're there for. So,
did you ever have any other pets?
Happy National Pet Day, Woody.
You have a hamster or a rabbit or anything like that?
No. Dogs and cats.
Cats? Okay.
Yeah, growing up.
Oh, snakes?
No. I hate snakes. I'm petrified by snakes. We don't need anything like that.
That gives me a good idea for the summer on the golf course, that rubber snake.
You're going to pull a Trevino on me, huh? Here, you're coming up with different ways to get at me on the golf course, aren't you? Well, in some places in Iowa, could have played golf yesterday. Not so much today. And with that in mind, again, there are a few postponements out there that we need to tell you about as far as basketball coming up tonight. One 5A game and one 4A game have been postponed until tomorrow. This is on the girls' side. The Cedar Falls-Hempstead game tonight has been postponed until tomorrow, beginning at 7 o'clock. And in 4A, Pella and Grinnell have been postponed until tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. What does that mean? It just means that we have to wait 24 hours, yet again, more hours before we know the state basketball schedule for next week. So there you go. We'll have that for you as soon as we can, as soon as we get it all put together, and as soon as they get it all put together as well. Some big games tonight on the boys' basketball side also. And you can pass those along to you here as well, some postponements. This is what we have on the boys' side in Class 1A for postponements. The Twin Billet Montezuma has been postponed until tomorrow night. That's Linville, Sully, Sigourney, Montezuma, and Keota. That has been pushed back one day. Also, the 2A district final between Applington, Parkersburg, and Dyke, New Hartford. That has been pushed back now. Also, Dyersville, Beckman, and Waukon has been pushed back to tomorrow night. Regina's game against Cascade is now pushed back until tomorrow night. That is a new one. That will be at Maquoketa. That will be at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening over at the new gym over in Maquoketa. And what else do we have here? Anything? I think that is it for what we have on our side of the state anyway, as far as postponements are concerned. So, Vicky, I must apologize to Vicky, our brand new traffic director here at KGYM. First time she's gone through March Madness and the February frenzy and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Doing a great job. But I keep telling her, we just, we'll know tonight with what's going to happen over the weekend. So now Regina's been put off 24 hours, and I told her that tomorrow morning she would know exactly what's coming up for the weekend. I'm sorry, Vicky. I'm very sorry.
About all you can do.
But we can't do anything about the weather, right? And it is there is some freezing rain in some of the parts of the state of Iowa, so if you're venturing off into those areas, please use extreme caution out there, especially as you go to the north and to the west. Not too bad here. You were just out there. It's not too bad right here in town.
No, not at all.
Okay,
no, very good.
But if this, it's supposed to get pretty cold tonight. So if this all starts to freeze up, then we could have a problem. So we shall see. 319-366-1600. That is our phone line. That is the Hurtina Stocker Jewelers text line as well. Poll question today, dealing with one of the topics to discuss here on the program today. It is brought to you by Emil's Hideaway, located on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across, right behind the Taco John's and next to Home Depot.
Should Louisville have had to vacate its 2013 National Championship and 2012 Final Four appearance? That's a yes or no question. And as you mentioned, thanks to Emil's Hideaway. If you missed it, the NCAA Appeals Committee on Infractions announced today that it has upheld the initial ruling from the committee to force Louisville's men's basketball program to vacate wins during the 2011-12 through 2014-15 seasons because student athletes competed while ineligible during those years. Beyond that, there is a culture that developed serious violations, according to the NCAA, by arranging striptease dances and sex acts for prospects. Rick Pitino was ousted for alleged involvement in a separate scandal relating to the recruitment of five-star athletes. So there you have it. The first time ever NCAA men's basketball team has been stripped of his championship.
Is that the right thing to do? Let us know at 319-366-1600 or just register your vote. Register your vote. That at KGYMRadio.com.
No, Michigan does not inherit a national championship.
It's just vacated.
Louisville defeated Michigan by 6 for the title that year, but Michigan does not inherit a national championship.
No, they do not. No, they do not. And I think it's it's the right thing to do, in my opinion anyway. And like you said, no, Michigan doesn't inherit that, but first place remains vacant, just like a Heisman Trophy remains vacant from a few years back.
I think it's the same argument that we've had in other situations. Do the acts of a few, does it constitute penalties for the at large? You know, I don't know how many athletes were involved, how many were ineligible. Was it 1 or 2, 8, 10? Does it matter?
Doesn't matter, and there aren't that many athletes on a basketball team anyway. And a couple damning things as far as Rick Pitino is concerned. Number one, denying that he knew anything about it was about the dumbest thing he could have done, because there is no way in the world that Rick Pitino did not know what was happening out there with his assistant coaches and with his squad members.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely ridiculous that he tried to stand his ground as far as that is concerned. And then, like you mentioned, he also got caught up in some of the situation, which could, the way it sounds, get bigger as far as payoffs for shoe companies, etc. Louisville is, you got to think Louisville basketball is really going to
plummet
very quickly.
Louisville interim president had some strong comments towards the NCAA. It basically said, we believe the NCAA is simply wrong. We disagree with the NCAA ruling for reasons we clearly stated in our appeal, and we made a strong case based on NCAA precedent that supported our argument.
Yeah, that's not right.
He also went on to say, well, the school disagrees with the decision. It's time for the university to move on and close this chapter.
And close this chapter. And it's going to take a while to close this chapter. Your thoughts, welcome at 319-366-1600.
7854 on the text line. No, they should not have to vacate the wins or championships. It would be more effective to hit both the university and Rick Pitino personally with heavy fines and any assistant coaches involved.
Well, they've already all been fired, basically.
9437, the death penalty seems appropriate as well. Baylor, Michigan State should join them.
That, again, and we've talked about this before, you're not going to see the death penalty again. SMU football just took too big of a hit. And no matter how heinous the crime, the NCAA has basically all but said you're not going to see the death penalty ever happen again. And let's face it, there's too much money rolling around tied up with these institutions as far as, I mean, if you throw Louisville onto probation, that also, obviously there's the ACC games that are on television. There's ESPN's contract with the various television networks out there. So that's just not going to happen. Not saying it shouldn't happen or they shouldn't be penalized very severely, but I don't think the death penalty is going to happen.
Back to the text line, 3830. Can I recoup my March Madness sheets of no integrity?
I win! I win! I in Michigan! I never even thought about that angle to it. I like that.
2134, what a joke. Good luck getting the championship rings back from the players.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. They'll take the banner down and any reference to it as far as records in the NCAA, as far as Louisville is concerned, they will now show it being vacated. And you're right. It's not going to take away rings. It's not going to take away memories. And certainly when you think back in 2013, YouTube videos are not going to come down or anything like that, or videos, tributes to the Louisville basketball team. So that's just the way it is.
Yeah, those pool winners, whoever had Louisville on the pool has not given any money back.
Yeah.
I don't believe.
Todd, look back, see who won the 2013 office pool, and we would like to recoup their money. And if I finish second, just let me know who it is. 319-366-1600.
Ryder probably won it.
Probably was Ryder. We know where he's at. We can get that back. We're going to talk a little bit about the decision made by the Chicago Blackhawks as well. Coming up after we talk with KJ Pilcher here. But if you missed it, a really sad situation with the Blackhawks and the Capitals. Four of their fans were racially taunting one of the Capitol players who was an African-American, and those four individuals have been banned now from Blackhawk games for forever, and that's the way it should be. And this should happen more and more because it's not only those four people, and it's not only just racial taunting or anything like that. It's just, and I'm kind of curious to hear, not so much go into specifics as far as your stories out there, but I do think that's one of the reasons why, and we've talked about it with our listeners, why their attendance is declining in professional sports and even in college sports. And we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. When NCAA came out with the findings that attendance was as low as it's been in over 30 years. And I do think that has something to do with it out there. People are just sick of being around idiotic people out there.
We'll talk about this more. I think it gets to the bottom line is, what can fans do? What's acceptable fan behavior? Not only at a hockey game, but at any sporting event. You know, I was talking to you before the show about these football stadiums, college football stadiums, where the fans are right on top of the opponent's bench, i.e. Iowa, Kinnick Stadium. And I'm not insinuating Iowa fans are saying anything close to what the Blackhawk fans said to this African-American hockey player. But, I mean, where's the line? Think about it, folks. Where's the line for fans?
Yeah. And just because you buy a ticket doesn't mean you get to do anything that you want to in the stands. So we'll get to that coming up in a little bit. We are going to take a break, come back, and we are going to wrap up high school wrestling for the season and talk some college wrestling as well with our friend KJ Pilcher of the Gazette. So we'll do that when we return after this. You're listening to The Gym Class for a Tuesday at 19 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock here on KGYM.
Cedar Valley Entertainment presents Saturday, June 23rd, live at the U.S. Cellular Center in Cedar Rapids. T-Pain, Ja Rule, and Mike Jones. Tickets on sale now at the U.S. Cellular Center box office, Ticketmaster.com, or by calling 1-800-745-3000. T-Pain, Ja Rule, and Mike Jones at the U.S. Cellular Center, Saturday, June 23rd. Get your tickets now.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City Health.
The world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national jobs. Looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Underlings, I'm sensing some tension between us lately, so I'm proposing a peace offering.
A peace offering?
Yes, by this time tomorrow, you are all expected to give me a peace offering. Gifts, cash, compliments, whatever.
What do we get out of it?
You get to keep working here, if your peace offering is deemed worthy.
Don't work for a Dave. Find a boss you can respect. One who's looking for great and local talent at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City Help Wanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
You guys want to do it?
Ryan Peck drives to rural towns every week, bringing music to kids who need it most.
From the top, ready?
He dreams of showing people the importance of music in a child's life. American Family Insurance is helping make that happen right now.
Keep on sunny side, always on sunny side. Keep
American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly.
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
321, back with you here in the gym class, KGYM, 1600 AM, 107.5, 106.3 FM. As a few responses, and we're going to talk about this coming up here in just a few moments, well, after we talk with KJ. And Mark, few folks already responding on the text line as far as in response to what the Blackhawks did today.
Yeah, and it's very interesting. We were talking among the three of us during the break about such things too. And 52-32 in exchange for serving 5 minutes in the box. Hockey players should be allowed to come into the stands and fight one fan per season. Chicago sports fans saying something dumb and racist? Color me shocked.
No, I'm not gonna paint this on Chicago. Just Chicago, because it happens everywhere. Come on, ask Viking fans how everything went in Philadelphia.
Oh my lord.
So yeah, it's not just a Chicago thing.
Yeah.
We're going to get to that coming up here in just a little bit. KJ Pilcher of the Gazette joining us right now in studio, fresh off the state wrestling tournament. And then, you know, you had a pigtail match on Sunday, too, with Iowa and Iowa State.
Yeah,
so,
right.
So you just stayed there, right?
One last consolation, man. Figuratively speaking.
Yeah, we'll get.
But how many selfies did you take at the state tournament?
How many selfies on Saturday?
I loved your selfies.
Over 30.
Yeah.
Over 30. You know, that was something that I was finishing up brackets on Friday night and just goofing around. And sometimes I like to entertain on Twitter more than anything. So I said, hey, I'm Demon Saturday, Selfie Saturday. Give me your request. And then all of a sudden my phone starts going bing, 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 bing. And, you know, people were requesting it. So said, why not have fun with it?
I like the shot of you and two colleagues on the podium.
Oh.
Where did you finish? Fourth?
Fifth.
Okay.
Fifth. That was something that, I want to say it's almost been about 10 years Andy Hamilton and I, who has covered wrestling at the Press Citizen and Des Moines Register, and now with trackwrestling.com, we always have been one of the last ones to leave the arena. And one night we were walking out, and there was, we always joke afterwards, it's like, I think that's the worst story I've ever written, you know, and obviously it's not, but we always joke about kind of the self-deprecating humor. So we were walking out, and here was this lone box, like on the second place step, and we joked about getting our picture taken and not placing as high as the box did. And we did it, and we posted it, and oh my gosh, the response we got, you know, people loved it, thought it was funny. So every year we've done that. Sometimes we do it at the Big Tens and even the NCAA. So it's become a yearly thing, which Selfie Saturday might become a yearly thing too.
I liked the one that said, two of us in here have something like the three medals or something like that.
That was probably my favorite one too. Jameis Wilson, finalist for Albernet, got lost in the 106-pound finals to Dan Kimball from Don Bosco. And after Tanner Sloan won, I was in back waiting to try to get him right before deadline and talk to him about winning the 195-pound title. And Jameis was walking around, and he saw me waiting, and he goes, "While you're waiting, how about a selfie?" So he had seen these during the day, and I'm like, "Yeah, all right, sure." You know, the wrestler came up and wanted to do that, and, you know, he was still disappointed, but, you know, was in good spirits, and and between the two of us, we have three medals.
As always,
I didn't see what split it was, but
as always, some great stories at the state wrestling, and it didn't take long. We had the 26th and the 7th. Four-time state champs early on.
Yep.
You had the Nelson Brand story. You had the Lisbon story. What stood out to you?
Well, I think, obviously, Teske and Thompson. Brody Teske from Fort Dodge and Alex Thompson both becoming four-timers. Not just because they became 26 and 27, but because of what transpired during the regular season, where the two of them started the season unbeaten, faced each other twice, and each lost to one another, which still their only losses in their high school career came to each other this final year. And, the, you know, the decision that they made to wrestle each other.
Cool.
Fantastic. You know, they did it not for themselves. They could have protected, you know, that goose egg in the lost column and joined that elite company, you know, with McGinnis and Juergens and Gable and such. But you know, they felt there was something bigger at hand, and that they owed it to fans and the sport to wrestle each other, and they did. It cost them being in that undefeated group, but still 26 and 27, four-timers, not bad. And, you know, they put on a show this weekend. And I think the other thing that really stands out is Brad Smith surpassing Bob Siddons.
Mm.
And, you know, Brad Smith has been, you know, kind of a pillar in Eastern Iowa wrestling, you know, since he finished wrestling at the University of Iowa for Dan Gable. And, you know, he took over the Lisbon program from Al Baxter. And I think everybody knows exactly what Lisbon wrestling was, especially in the 80s. Then he went on to City High, and for more than two decades, you know, led City High. And then for him to come, you know, he retired, and then they brought him back, and what he's been able to do now, leading them to back-to-back titles, 16 overall. I think that was the biggest thing, because, you know, Siddons, you know, that record by Siddons was viewed untouchable, I think, at one time. And for what Smith has done, and, you know, to be able to come back to, you know, in his second tenure and, you know, resurrect the Lisbon program has been fantastic.
Remarkable. Yeah. Yep.
It really has been. And yeah, Bob Siddons has a gym named after him at Waterloo West, by
the
way.
Right?
It's so, the Siddons gym.
Yeah. So I know Smith has been deemed Sauerkraut Day's king before, but, you know.
Well, that's quite an honor, too.
Yeah, for sure. In Lisbon.
At Lisbon Sauerkraut Days.
But, yeah, I think those were, you know, and of course, you can't overlook what Nelson Brands did. It's not just finishing with three state titles, but really what he was able to do, because I think a lot of people look at the Brand's name and think, oh, he's probably been wrestling, you know, since he came out of the womb. You know, he was prenatal wrestler for the most part. But that wasn't the case. I think he started wrestling at sixth or seventh grade. You know, Terry didn't push it on him. And he didn't have, as Mark Ryland said, he didn't have an obscene amount of matches. And people forget, he didn't qualify as a freshman. Didn't even qualify. And then he made this huge jump from freshman to sophomore year, won a title, and then became absolutely dominant his last 2 years. And we saw that with a Tech fall in the finals. So not just the three-time champion, becoming a three-time champion, but just the progress that he's made throughout his high school career. And he's still raw. And that's going to be a great product that I think the University of Iowa is going
to
get.
Yeah, I've had people ask me how he translates to the next level because he's at 160 now. We know who's at 165.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who's capable of going up or down. Is this a project 2 years out,
maybe
3 years out for
Brands?
Yeah,
I think so. I could see him being a 57-pounder, you know, to be honest. I could see him, you know, maybe even sliding in at 65. I don't think he's big enough to be a 74-pounder, you know, but I think somebody to step in after Kemmerer, you know, at 57, probably not out of the question.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And starting off, let's talk about 3A. And,
sure.
You know, Fort Dodge did what everyone thought Fort Dodge was going to do. And it was kind of a Central Iowa parade up and down the line. But with that being said, West Iowa had a really good tournament. We mentioned Brands. City High did well. Prairie got, what, all but one of their guys were medalists down there for Kane Thompson. Kennedy got a win with Saracen. So there were some things to talk about in the eastern half of the state.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, you mentioned Fort Dodge winning and everybody kind of expected it. But, boy, that was in doubt all the way up until pretty much with three finals to go. Waukee still had a chance. Waukee had a fantastic tournament, really challenged Fort Dodge. And actually, a couple local wrestlers that helped seal it for Fort Dodge. Ben Saracen at 170 beat Anthony Zach in the finals. Zach from Waukee. And then Jacob Dykes from City High beat a Waukee finalist at 195 for the title. And if Waukee wins those two matches, they end up passing Fort Dodge. So Fort Dodge got a little help from those local wrestlers. And as you mentioned, you know, Prairie started the tournament out really slow. 2-5, I think, was their first-round record.
Mm-hmm.
Trenton Wintermark and Derek Horak, the only two to win, and they made it to the semis. But what Prairie was able to do on the backside was just amazing. I mean, it was amazing, really, because I don't think anybody that hasn't been down there to understand the emotional stress that gets put on guys in those first two rounds when they lose and they have their medal hopes on the line each time out, because you have to come back from that loss in the same session in those first two rounds. And what they were able to do after going 2-5, they won all five of their wrestle backs in that first session. And then they come back the next day and they went 4-1. So they won 9 out of 10 consolation matches to end up getting 6 out of 7 on the award stand. And that's not an easy task. And, it, you know, it's kind of the strongest weakling, I guess you could say. You know, you'd rather have all those wins on the front side. But still, it's pretty phenomenal the way, you know, guys like Austin Kegley at 106 and Mike Jasa, Ashton Stoner DeGroote, who came all the way back and got sixth. You know, Conrad Braswell, who was in a matchup of 2 versus 3 in the first round. And, you know, still came back and placed Braswell for the third time now. Pretty impressive for what they were able to do. And, you know, you talk about stories. Ben Searson, gosh, you know, what a great way to cap off a career. You know, last year he gave Marcus Coleman from Ames a three-timer, his closest matches, and for him to come out on top, you know, was great. You know, this is a kid that could wrestle at the D1 level, has chosen to go to the University of Chicago for academics, you know, and kind of stay closer to home and wrestle at the D3 level, when, you know, when he could go to Brown or Penn or someplace like that. You know, it just kind of shows you the all-around good kid that he is. And, boy, he's so good on his feet. He showed that throughout the tournament. Throughout the tournament with all the takedowns he was able to get, I think three of them in the finals against Zach, and it was good to see him come out on top as well.
You could make an argument that Dubuque Waller was the story of the tournament. You know, in 2A, a product of the Valley, goes out and wins a state championship, and I don't know about this kid from Louisiana who might have alienated some people by flashing the four sign after he won, but
yeah, Josh Ramirez, he's kind of an outspoken gentleman for sure. But no, what Waller was able to do was very impressive and very rare.
With the number they had.
They had four guys. Take four guys down there, you put three in the finals, two of them win championships, all four of them placed in the top four. Something, I think going back, I think there was an Eagle Grove team that might have won it with just four wrestlers years and years ago. I know Independence 1 year finished third when they only had four guys. They went like 2-2-3-5 or something like that, in 2A. But, you know, that's a big difference between getting third and winning by 14 points when I think everybody thought this tournament was New Hampton's to win, you know. But, they have a four-timer in their own, you know, with Ramirez, who's going to Ohio State, that transferred in from Louisiana after winning three down there. But even so, you know, Boone McDermott at 220 as a freshman was a JV wrestler, you know, and for him to end up being a state champ and nationally ranked, too, that says a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people think you have to have success, you know, when you start, you know, you have to be a fifth and sixth grader and being able to whip everybody. And that goes to show you, you know, some people blossom differently, and it depends on how much work you put in, you know, especially in these high school years, that really can put you in another level. And I think he's a good example of that.
Another example, too, Kadohu of City High was a JV wrestler, too.
I think I saw one of the social media posts from City High Wrestling where, 2 years ago, he was second in the Cranick meet, and now he's second in state, which is fantastic. And, of course, you know, if he faces somebody else in the finals, he very well could be a state champ, but finished second to
Brands,
you know, and, you know, gave City High two finalists, you know. And you know, City High has done a great job. Corey Connell's done a great job resurrecting that program, taking over for Brad Smith.
So. 1A, of course, Lisbon getting the team championship. Everyone thought it was going to be Lisbon, Don Bosco, and Denver, and ended up 1-2-3 that way. But Denver kind of had to take the back way get there because they were pretty much out of the title hunt early on day two.
Yeah, they took some hits early on. I mean, they still had eight medalists. Where you're thinking eight medalists in 1A,
you got it.
You know, but of course, only one finished third, one other finished fourth, and the rest were fifth or lower. But Lisbon really pulled away there in the semifinals, where they went, I think, 4 of 5 in the semis and really put themselves in position and got they were able to secure it with Cale Happel getting a tech fall, winning his second title. Six straight years that Happel has been on top of the podium, and I thought this number was pretty stunning. 48 straight state victories in between traditional and state duels for the Happel family. Dean Happel won 12 straight, winning three titles, you know, in the 80s. Then Carter won 16 straight as a four-timer. And they were in state duels for 2 years, so he had six more there. And then, of course, Cale has won 8 straight in the traditional title, 6 more in the state duels the last 2 years. 48 straight in that family, and there's probably more to come. Cale and now there's another brother that's going to be a freshman next year. And I thought it was funny. Brad Smith was on TV yesterday, and they asked him about how long he was going to keep coaching. He goes, well, the youngest Happel is in third grade, so do the math.
There's another one behind that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, but it wasn't just KL. You know, Kobe Seabrook made the finals for a second straight year. You know,
had Russell Thompson,
Alex Thompson of Underwood. His brother Cooper Seabrook finishes as a four-time medalist. Wins at 145, had to defeat a state champion, Chance Thronson, in the quarterfinals, I believe. You know, to get there. And then Bryce Werdemann. I tell you what, I appreciate, the more I saw Bryce Werdemann wrestle, the more I appreciated his toughness. And I tell you what, I don't know if there's a more hard-nosed kid than him. He showed it in the opening round where it was like a 3-5 matchup, and he ended up winning in like tiebreaker overtime. But for 8 minutes, the guy just keeps going. He gave up a escape with like 6 seconds left to go in the finals, or else Lisbon would have had four champs. But boy, I tell you what, a runner-up finish at 170 for him as a senior. Very impressed with him. And you know, we talked about Jameis Wilson, Al Burnett. Two guys down there, both of them were wrestling Saturday night. Wilson, a runner-up at 106, and then Tanner Sloan, who won it 2 years ago as a sophomore, missed out, and Sloan had one of the most dominant tournaments. You know, his pins, you know, his first two rounds, he had pins in less than 45 seconds.
And one final by pin.
Yeah, and, you know, locked up a cradle there against a kid from Sibley Ocheden, scoreless tie, and he was on top and, you know, locked that cradle up. And, you know, DeYoung was not going anywhere once Sloan turned him, and he finished it off. And that was a great relief for him to get back on top here as a senior. And, of course, just to get to the finals, he kind of coasted to an 11-0 major decision, which, you know, to beat somebody that bad in the semis and really kind of do it with ease says a lot, too.
What does the future look like, KJ, in terms of the metro area? Is it brighter next year? And overall, who's loaded next year?
Boy, I think you have to kind of look at Central Iowa again. You know, there you've got teams in Central Iowa like Johnston, Waukee, that are really, you know, starting to butt up and, you know, compete with Southeast Polk and West Des Moines Valley. You know, we didn't even talk about Southeast Polk and West Des Moines Valley, you know, and they're still finishing in the top five. Mm-hmm. You know, Fort Dodge is going to come back down to earth a little bit. In the metro, you know, I think you look at Kennedy. I think you look at Prairie, you know. Linmar is going to have, you know, a couple. I think talking to Doug Stryker briefly Saturday that, you know, there are some younger kids getting ready to come into the program that, you know, are there are bigger, better days for Linmar coming up, you know, to go along with like Bryce Park and Jacob Wempen, who's coming back, who, you know, we didn't mention, he ended up getting fifth or sixth, I believe, but lost to Harrison in the semis. And I still believe the top two 170-pounders in 3A are in the Metro. I think it was Saracen Wempen. And it was unfortunate they had to face off in the semis. But kind of look at Kennedy and Prairie again as being kind of leading the way. I think what City High has done down there in kind of resurrecting under Connell, I think they're kind of poised for another good year in 3A, and I think Lisbon's going to be just fine.
Yeah,
you know, they've got Happel and Seabrook back. You got a few others that are going to. I think there's another Seabrook brother too that's going to be joining the lineup here. If it's not this year, it's going to be the year after that. You know, so I think Lisbon in 1A, and I think West Delaware in 2A. You know, we didn't talk about. You know, they got third in the dual title. They have a really young team, and I think they were even maybe even a year ahead of what they thought this class coming in was going to achieve. You know, but it's certainly on the uptake, and that's a team to kind of look toward here coming down the road.
Well, now you turn your attention to college wrestling.
Yeah.
You got to get to that a little bit. And we got to talk about Iowa State just a little
bit. Sure.
Because
what would you like to talk about with that one?
I think that was just the, you know, you go to something like this, you can kind of put it akin to a, you know, a seven-act play or something like that. This was the prologue Sunday, just by everybody's shenanigans afterwards. Kevin Dresser's unhappy with Iowa. You know, Iowa pretty much said, well, we don't care and at this point. And, you know, and that's going to be round one of this thing.
Yeah. Or are we talking about the forfeit comment?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Iowa forfeits 197.
Was dinged a little bit.
Wilkie was dinged. It had Wade in Holloway. And Dresser basically says, well, that's not how we roll.
Well, let's straighten a couple things out. Wilkie was sick with the flu.
Right.
So he didn't even weigh in at all. Holloway weighed in. It was announced. However, what people don't know is Holloway's facing an injury where he might have to have surgery. Mm. So essentially what it was, if for some reason Iowa State were to make this a competitive duel and we need to put somebody out there to avoid giving up six, Holloway was there to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't, you know, they weren't anywhere close, so you know why are you putting a kid out there that is injured, or not necessarily, you know, you're putting him in harm's way for no reason at all. Not saying it's good to put him in harm's way anyway, but you know, there's no reason for him to go out there.
Why would that tick off Dresser? Is he trying to stir something up?
Yes,
is he trying to get?
Think
yeah,
so.
I think
I think that's the perfect way to put it. I don't think it was. Some people call it a deflection of what, you know, of how bad they wrestled, because I was in the news conference. He addressed how bad they wrestled. I mean, Dresser, I think, was very blunt in saying, "Hey, we had guys go out there and saw the color of their singlet, and they're already down 4-0." He goes, "Hey, I know what that's like because I wore black and gold, and that happened to people I wrestled. You know, and my kids are going out there; they need to get over that." And he was asked about Marcus Simmons, who was up 7-0 with more than 2 minutes of riding time on Paul Glenn. And Paul Glenn stormed back and beat him. And he said, hey, he's used to being tired and giving up and losing. And that's what you saw. So he needs to decide, okay, am I going to be great? Or am I going to be somebody that gets tired and loses? You know, and he point blank called out people on his team. So I don't think it was a deflection of, oh, hey, we wrestled bad, so I'm going to throw this out there. I think it's a way to keep the series dramatic, even though there's nothing dramatic about this rivalry anymore,
mm-hmm.
to be blunt. You know, you saw the uptake when Dresser was named head coach and Zadik, Metcalf, and St. John joined him. And it was like, oh, there's this rejuvenated rivalry now that you have these four Hawkeyes, and you have Dresser, who was calling them oranges the year before from Virginia Tech. You know, now they're leading it, so there's going to be this rejuvenation. And this first year, it was even more lackluster than it had been under Jackson. You know, some of that's just growing pains with Dresser taking over, and he's got to clean house a little bit before he gets guys that he wants into his system. But it was just an opportunity for him to try to stoke the fire a little bit and make sure there's still this interest in a rivalry that really has become blasé.
Yeah, and just kind of getting going. It's going to take a few years. Iowa State needs to get some people in there. Iowa's probably going to be stronger next year even.
Yeah, and you see that with any sport, with any head coaching change. You know, you have a certain way that you do things, and there's certain things that you expect, and you recruit people that fit that mold. And when you step into a program, you have people that may not, you know, they may be square pegs for a round hole, and it takes a while before you get the right pieces in place.
I think one thing, the one problem at Iowa State, whether you get Dresser and Zadik and all those guys there's no tradition. This is a generation of young wrestlers coming up. I don't think they have any context of when Iowa State was good.
They don't know Harold Nichols or the Gibbons or people like that.
And that's a good point, because you've got guys coming in, what, it's probably been about 13, 14 years since they were contenders, really.
Mm-hmm.
So your freshmen were four when that was the case. I mean, you bring up a very good point, you know, so...
That's just a piece of it, I think.
That is. But you also see, you know, places like Missouri that maybe didn't have that tradition and are now a top five mm-hmm. team. You know, you've seen mm-hmm. what UNI has done a little bit, you know, to kind of be on that, kind of knocking on the door of that top 10 level, you know, and how long has it been since they've been huge contenders?
Yeah.
You know, so it can be done. It's just, like you guys said, it's just going to take some time. But I think Sunday there's a little bit of posturing after that, just to keep things interesting from that standpoint. Because
I like that.
It really was a whipping.
Yeah. The Big Ten's going to be fun in East Lansing. So
For sure.
We'll talk when we get closer, but that's going to be a fun couple days.
Yeah, I was just looking at some things this morning, actually. 9 of your top 14 ranked wrestlers are all Big Ten guys at 165.
Mm-hmm. You're going to have quarterfinals that are going to be amazing.
You're going to have a match to get into the quarterfinals between the 12th and the 14th ranked wrestler, possibly.
Yeah.
Heavyweight isn't far behind, is it?
No. Yeah. It's right up there where you got 6 to 8 guys at heavyweight, you know. And those quarterfinals are going to be unbelievable, you know, when you have Snyder and Kuhn and Nevels and Stoll, you know, going at it.
Yeah.
You know, so it'll certainly be fun. And, you know, even this weekend, D3 qualifiers are in Dubuque. You know, Wartburg looking to get back. We'll see what kind of Loris has. You know, they've really grown under TJ Miller there. And, you know, their assistant coach, Trevor Kittleson, who people have raved about. Really, Miller and Kittleson complement each other well. And, you know, that might be somebody to kind of really watch out for when you look at how Wartburg tries to continue this dominance. Loris and Cole might be right there trying to knock him off.
Trying to knock him off anyway. And we'll keep up the great work, my man.
Will do.
Thanks for stopping by. Appreciate it. We'll talk
as we
get closer.
Not going to keep me around about this fan thing?
Yeah, well, if you want to stick around, you're more than welcome to. Put your 2 cents worth in.
I got about a quarter in my pocket, actually.
We got to take a break, though. KJ's stopping by today, and our wrestling talk on Tuesday is brought to you by Kurt Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance, located on Johnson Avenue, Northwest in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-V. Thanks a whole lot to Kurt. We'll take a break, come back, and talk about fan behavior a little bit. Does that deter you from going to games? We'll do it when we come back.
Howdy folks, Colonel Sanders here to tell you about KFC's $10 chicken shares. They're perfect to share with those special people in your life. Choose from 6 pieces of my Kentucky Fried Chicken, 9 extra crispy tenders, 12 hot wings, or a bunch of popcorn nuggets. So grab your buddy, your cousin, your dad, your college roommate, or my friend Joan, and head to KFC. Are you there yet? Okay, good. Now get to sharing and eating. KFC's $10 chicken shares. It's finger licking good.
At participating KFCs only. Hot wings not available at all locations. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right? Well, with the Bring Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. Video typically streams at DVD quality. Refer to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
It's at the Home Show.
Looking for the latest products and services for your home and garden? Look no further than the 39th annual Cedar Rapids Home and Builder Show, Friday, February 23rd through Sunday, February 25th at the Hawkeye Downs Expo Center in Cedar Rapids. Get lots of great ideas, consult with home improvement experts, and expand your knowledge as you visit exhibits and attend the seminars. Plus, Papa Balloon will be there making fun balloon creations for the kids.
At the
The house of your dreams is just a home show away. So stop by the Cedar Rapids Home and Builders Show at the Hawkeye Downs Expo Center in Cedar Rapids. Show hours are 4 to 8 Friday, 10 to 6 Saturday, and noon to 5 Sunday. Admission is just $5 and children under 12 are free. So bring the whole family. Sponsored by the Greater Cedar Rapids Housing and Building Association.
3:53, we're going to get back to our texts about fan behavior, but right now we've got Rough Rider tickets to give away. We have a pair for this Friday night's game against Tri-City that will get underway at 7:05. Stop by, congratulate Mark Carlson on his 600th win. You can do that coming up on Friday. The Rough Riders in town Friday and Saturday. Caller number 6 right now. You'll get the tickets to see Friday night's game against Tri-City. 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. We'll let you know who our winner is in a moment.
Now at Menards, save big money on your next project with 11% off everything. Whether it's a new garage or a kitchen remodel, you'll get 11% off all of it. The bigger the project, the bigger the savings. There's no limit to how much you can save with 11% off everything now at Menards. 11% savings are a mail-in rebate. Good through February 24th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Back with you on the Gym Class, KGYM. KJ regaling us with some great discussion points here. It gets worse and worse. Mark went through it. I went through it. You're going through it right now.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't know if it's gotten any better or worse. I'm not around youth sports that much anymore. I was at an AAU tournament on Sunday in Hiawatha, and I heard a little bit here and there, but I wasn't really paying real close. There's 6 or 8 games going on at the same time, so
I think it just depends. And it's probably like anything now. You just hear of it more often.
Yeah.
You know, I remember I talked to Dan Sabers about players once, and it's like, well, you know, they just seem like they do more stupid stuff. And he goes, no, it's not more than what they used to. It's just they have social media now, so you catch it more often.
And they see and hear about this Blackhawk stuff.
Yes.
And, oh.
Yeah. We talked about that earlier. By the way, Taylor in Iowa City, congratulations. You're going to go see the Rough Riders coming up. We mentioned Blackhawks have banished 4 fans from future games for their behavior in a recent game against the Washington Capitals. And you're seeing, I think it's a great move by the Blackhawks. If you're going to be stupid at games, then you should be, you should accept the consequences. If you are crossing that line, and that certainly was crossing the line in that particular ball game.
77-76 on the text line, talking about working the scoreboard at a high school girls game, and always brings his daughter, 10-year-old daughter, with. You got a 10-year-old daughter near that, KJ,
yep.
And heard comments during the game, and led the daughter to ask questions afterwards. And the point of the text here is that people need to realize all the little ears are around and set an example.
Yeah. Somewhere we got to a point where the price of admission not only came with a seat, but entitlement to say and do whatever you felt necessary as long as you didn't put your hands on somebody, which you've seen it in all, you know, obviously the Blackhawks case. We've seen it in soccer. We've seen it in baseball. You know, heck, remember the fight at the Palace a few years ago in the NBA and the Royals coach that got attacked. You know, for some reason there's this entitlement that says, hey, we're here, we'll do whatever we want, we paid to get in.
And as ticket prices keep going up, I think the entitlement goes up more.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm here and I'm spending my good hard-earned cash.
And even at the high school level, I was telling Mark this story. I was at a wrestling meet once, and a parent was so upset with the official that she came out of the stands up to the scorer's table and starts going through all my stuff, wanting to find out the name of this referee, you know, and telling, kind of pushing the scorer's people around, like, who is this person? Who is this person? Who's this referee? I want to know. I demand to know who this referee is. And it's like, you know, waiting for the AD to come over to finally escort her back and say, hey, you know, you don't do that. But it just blows my mind that, you know, and I'll admit, I've I've yelled at a referee or an official before, you know, but there's a certain line that we seem to be crossing over now.
Yeah, and more and more. And just remember that. I don't want to be on my pedestal, and we only got like 20 seconds here, but, you know, just remember, these guys and gals are trying to do their best as well. Don't be an idiot.
I agree. All Scott, right. It hasn't gone away. 25-23. Does Duker get to sing anymore?
No.
No.
Not this week.
No rap lyrics, no singing, no nothing. But that national anthem was bad at the NBA. Go ahead.
Yeah.
All right. Need to get out of here.
All right. Thanks, KJ. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you.
Talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Selfless service is the guiding principle that drives Army National Guard soldiers to be always ready whenever disaster strikes. They are your next-door neighbors and your colleagues in schools, offices, and factories. To be a Guard soldier is to stand ready to serve at all times for family, for community, and for country. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com.